Hello and welcome to a Search George podcast on boosting array performance. My name is Mark Lewis and I'm one of the editors of SearchGeorge.com. Joining me is Ray Lucchese. This is the first of a four-part podcast series. Ray Lucchese is president of Silverton Consulting. Silverton is a strategy, storage, and system consultancy based in Colorado. Ray has worked more than 25 years in the data storage industry. Most of his work has been in the engineering and directing development of new enterprise-class disk and tape storage products. Thanks for joining us today, Ray. Lesson one will cover performance fundamentals. Along with these podcasts, Ray has also developed a set of slides that go along with the podcasts. You can find those companion slides and other podcasts at searchstorage.com/performance. Okay, everyone, I think we're ready to turn our attention to Ray Lucchese and lesson one. Ray?
This is Ray Lucchese, president of Silverton Consulting. In this, our first podcast, we will talk about disk subsystem performance fundamentals. This includes the I/O journey, disk cache subsystem, and other performance terminology. Today we will discuss block I/O, but file I/O is fairly similar from a performance perspective. An application and a server issues an I/O because it needs access to data. The I/O starts out as a service request to the operating system for a data block in a file. The application's I/O transfers control to the operating system, which looks in its host buffer to see if the data is available there. And if not, then the request moves to the host bus adapter, or HBA. The HBA translates the I/O request to a SCSI command block and then transforms this into a set of fiber channel interface blocks and sends it to your storage area network, or SAN. SANs may have one or more switches between the server and the subsystem. In any event, the I/O request, now a SCSI command block, hops from it, the HBA, to the first switch, then optionally to a second or more switches, and finally reaches the disk subsystem's front end. The disk subsystem takes the SCSI command block and checks its cache for the requested block. If it's unavailable, a request to retrieve the block is issued to the back end. The subsystem may need to convert the request from a logical to a physical drive address. The physical drive has its own cache and must check to see if the block's there, but if not, it starts to seek to the block's starting location. Once there, the disk must rotate under the head until the start of the block is ready for reading. Once the data is under the read head, it will be read from the disk and moved to the disk's cache. From there, it goes over to the subsystem's back-end network into the cache, and then the subsystem provides the data back across the SAN to the HBA, which tells the operating system that the block is available, puts a copy of the block's data in the application's memory, and signals the application to proceed. Some things to remember. First, every step of the I/O has some sort of a buffer or cache. The server has one, the HBA may have one, the subsystem has multiple, and the disk drive has one. The block could potentially reside in any of them and will most likely be in all of them once the read completes. Second, we have described a read request. Write operations are different. Here the server has the data and is providing it to the disk subsystem. Write data could be left in the host buffer and flushed later, could be left in the disk subsystem's cache and destaged later, but ultimately needs to be placed on a disk in order to guarantee integrity. Third, there are really three distinct environments that impact I/O performance. The server has the operating system, the host buffer, and the HBA. The SAN has the fiber channel links themselves, as well as one or more switches. Finally, the subsystem has the front-end, cache, back-end, and drives, all of which can impact performance. In these podcasts, we will be primarily discussing the disk subsystems portion of this activity. I will briefly touch on some server considerations in our concluding podcast. Disks come in three performance levels, fast, medium, and slow. I will often call slow disk high-capacity disks as well. We have touched upon disk terminology before, but let's briefly review these again. All disks must seek to move their head, read-write heads to the proper track on the disk. Disks are rotating media. The location of the requested block must be rotated under the proper head to be accessed. Disks transfer data from the back-end network of the subsystem to the disk media for writes or vice versa for reads. Disks also have an internal buffer. This is small, from 8 to 16 megabytes, but enough to handle multiple blocks. Disk buffers are very good for write data and can be used to speed match between the disk media and the back end, but typically aren't very useful for holding read data. As of early 2006, fast disks are available from a number of manufacturers and have an average seek of around 3 milliseconds. They rotate at approximately 15,000 RPM and transfer data at about 95 megabytes per second. Slow disks have an average seek time of 8 milliseconds, rotate at 7,200 RPM, and can transfer data at about 65 megabytes per second. Medium disks are somewhere between these two. Subsystems have a front end connecting the subsystem to the SAN, a back end connecting it to disk drives, cache, and disk drives. Subsystems have buffers and/or caches everywhere. They could be at the front end interface, sometimes called pocket caches. They more often are in the bowels of the subsystem, generally called a cache, and they could possibly be at the back end interface. Today, front end interfaces are usually parallel SCSI, fiber channel, or iSCSI. Back-end interfaces can be fiber channel, SATA, SAS, or parallel SCSI. Please realize that interfaces come in different speeds. Fiber channel can be used at 1, 2, or 4 gigabits per second. iSCSI has 100 megabits or 1 gigabit per second. Parallel SCSI comes in a number of speeds, but generally we find today 160 or 320 megabytes per second. SAS/SATA can operate at 1.5 or 3 gigabits per second. These transfer speeds are quoted as peak transfer rates. You can translate from bits to bytes per second by dividing by 10. It's not entirely accurate, but it's close enough. Furthermore, some interfaces can be switched, such as iSCSI or fiber channel, while others are point-to-point, like non-SAN fiber channel or SAS/SATA. Furthermore, some can be configured as a loop or a chain, such as parallel SCSI or fiber channel arbitrated loop. Subsystems come in different classes. Enterprise class subsystems have a large, very large cache, typically greater than 100 gigabytes, large number of front ends and back end interfaces, perhaps in the hundreds, and every conceivable drive option available. They typically have high throughput, low local and remote mirroring, and very high availability. They also cost the most. Mid-range has less of all the above. Mid-range systems may have the best response time because they have less overhead than enterprise-class subsystems. However, they probably don't have the best throughput because they have less data paths than the enterprise systems. They typically have limited cache configurations and drive configurations as well. Entry class is the least features of any, but also costs the least. There are also JBODs, or just a bunch of disks, directly attached to a server. We will not discuss JBODs further in these podcasts. Cache exists to reduce the amount of I.O. going to the remainder of the system. The host buffer attempts to siphon off most of the application's I.O.s and reduce I.O.s to the disk subsystem. The subsystem cache is there to capture blocks read so that subsequent requests to the same block can be satisfied from the cache rather than the drive. Ditto for write activity. Some cache terminology. A read hit. When a read I.O. request finds its block of data in cache. A write hit. When data being written is first placed into a cache and then later flushed or destaged to the back-end disk. A cache miss. When either a read or a write request must go directly to a back-end disk. Read ahead. When a subsystem detects a sequential I.O. stream, it can read past the current request to move the data into cache before the next I.O. needs it. A typical subsystem I.O. request will take 8.2 milliseconds off of a fast disk and only 2.5 milliseconds directly out of cache. Some performance terminology. Throughput is the quantity of data that can be transferred to or from a subsystem over a given amount of time. Nowadays, it's generally quoted as megabytes or gigabytes per second. Response time is the average time it takes to do an I.O. operation. This is typically quoted in milliseconds, like a read-hit response time is on average 2.5 milliseconds. Sequential workload. This is when the predominant I.O. traffic to a subsystem is sequential in nature. That is, it is reading one block consecutively after another. Random workload. This is when the subsystem is predominantly seeing random I.O. requests with no conceivable pattern to the blocks being requested. Random workloads can be good or bad hit workloads depending on how often they re-reference a particular block. Well, that concludes our first podcast. For more information, you may check out the presentations on www.searchstorage.com or on our website, www.silvertonconsulting.com. The next podcast will be on primary performance drivers. This is Ray Lucchese, president of Silverton Consulting, signing off.
Great. Thank you, Ray. As Ray mentioned, be sure to check out the other performance resources at searchstorage.com/performance. There you'll find the companion slides and more information about storage performance. Also, Ray will be presenting at Storage Decisions, our free conference in Chicago. If you'd like to see the full Storage Decisions program, head on over to storagedecisions.com. We look forward to seeing you at the offline events and at Ray's next podcast. Bye-bye.